This is the Green Left Radio Show, and right now we have an interview with Rachel Evans. Now, Rachel is an all-around
legend,
awesome person, legend. She's a long-term housing activist and socialist, and she's now actually running in the federal election in Sydney. Welcome to the studio, Rachel. Good to have you.
Hi, team. How are you going?
Hi, Rach.
Hi.
It's really lovely to hear your voice so early in the morning, and you're always very chirpy and cheerful, so we appreciate that about you so much. So we're just gonna have a bit of a chat about some of the things going on in Sydney, which I think are probably closely matching what's happening down here in Melbourne. But you're a candidate in the seat of Sydney. What are some of the housing issues happening in your area?
Yeah, so in Gadigal Country, Sydney, we have some of the worst rents actually in the world. Sydney is the second most expensive place to rent. It was almost $200 a week increase last year. So we're really feeling it. This cost of living crisis is really hitting in this CBD. And, of course, across the country, it's the worst housing crisis in living memory. So it's rents and mortgage increases, and it's homelessness. So the rates of homelessness are skyrocketing, as according to Homelessness Australia and New South Wales. The public housing waiting list is also rising, of course. So it was at 54,000 on the waiting list but 5 years ago, and now it's up to 63,000, but across the country, 750,000 people need secure housing. So it's pretty intense. And look, the figures on homelessness are 120,000 people every night across the country. And the largest cohort who are entering into homelessness are older women. So, yeah, it's a feminist, it's a women's rights crisis as well as a cost of living crisis. And the reason for it is the landlords and property investors are just, you know, running away with it, and the government's giving them all of these corporate handouts but not building beautiful public housing, which is the solution to this crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rach. Yeah, absolutely. And also, I just wanted to add to that as well, I'm also a social worker and I've worked in the homelessness sector before, like those people on the wait list for public housing, like that only represents a fraction of people who are currently experiencing housing stress, of course. So, yeah. And there's, like you said, there's a huge number of people sleeping rough every night. But then there's people who are just, you know, struggling to, I mean, the definition of housing rental affordability, I understand, is like 30% of your income. And so most of us who are renting are paying more than 30%, and it causes a lot of stress. And then when the prices of everything else are inflated, of course, as well. So, yeah, it's a much bigger issue than just the nearly 750,000 people on the housing wait list, public housing wait list. There's a lot more people experiencing rental stress. So,
That's right, Steph.
Yeah.
So there's young people at Couchsurf, for example.
Yeah, there's lots of couch surfing happening, living in vans and living in cars. And but it's also just that people's savings, working class people's savings are being whittled away through, you know, like emergency stuff, medical care. You can't always get to see a doctor at a cheap rate, so young people are foregoing medical visits. So there's just, in general, the billionaires are making working class people pay, and the corporate parties, Labor and Liberal, are enabling that and assisting the billionaires to get more of the public purse money. And while the union movement and the community campaigns are a bit weak, we haven't been able to, you know, increase our salaries or increase the public housing density. But we also, the arguments from Labor and Liberal on the reasons for the housing crisis are shortages and immigrants. There's really two arguments coming from them, and they're both furphies and they're both lies.
And they often blame international students.
That's right.
And there was a study excuse me, there was a study that was released this morning which totally refutes that. I've forgotten the name of the study, but I heard it this morning. It's just been released.
Ah, good. Mm. Yeah, well, it's not. It's that we've got a million homes empty every night, and that's been a consistent, consistent over the last 10 years. So a million homes empty, and they're empty for various reasons. Some people have a second property. Some people are renovating, but it really is, it's a crisis because we have, 750,000 people needing secure housing. The maths is pretty easy to realise. If we get people into those empty homes, and have secure tenure, then the problem is solved. So it's actually not shortage. It's the system is set up and designed to assist the property developers and the landlords at the expense of us, our common folk who need secure housing. So, yeah, and it's also that the government gives a whole bunch of tax handouts and to property developers and landlords through negative gearing and capital gains taxation benefits. So there's just a whole swathe of support from neoliberal governments that they've given to the rich, and we're paying for it. So yeah, that's actually the cause of the housing crisis. And then of course, it's capitalism as a whole, making the rich richer and the poor poorer.
Yeah, thanks, Rach. And are you able to speak to specifically the public housing that is already, I suppose, existent in Gadigal, and like what's happening there in terms of the public housing that's already built?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, in Gadigal country, we've got quite a lot of public housing estates, but they're in the process of the state Labor government in the process of trying to evict a whole bunch of people and then demolish, similar to the situation that you've got in Naam. Mm. So we've got public housing estates in Glebe, Waterloo, Mascot, South Eveleigh, Kingsford Smith, and Maroubra, who are all slated for demolition. So, and most of the people in those estates have been given eviction notices. And Waterloo has the most amount of public housing of any suburb in the country. There's around almost 2,500 dwellings that are public housing in the suburb of Waterloo. And they've just given 150 Waterloo residents eviction notices they're just starting the process. So we're in for a real fight, like you guys are in Naam, to defend what we have and then extend it. And there's a great crew called The Office, which were part of the Save Barrack Beacon campaign down there in Port Melbourne. And they've come up here to give a report to the state government to say it's going to be a lot cheaper if we reinvest and repair and renew public housing here in Waterloo. So they're due to give their report probably in about 9 months or to a year. And, it's pretty simple. It's very clearly understood by anyone. You do a refit and then people can stay in the homes. And then we expand the public housing sector. It used to be up around 7% and it's now down to 2.5%. So we need more. That's the thing. And in Denmark, it's something like 20%. And in London, the public housing, social housing mix is a lot higher. I think it's about 30%. So we're really falling behind here.
Yeah, thanks, Rach. And like you're saying, the same thing is happening here in Melbourne. So with the demolition of public housing, and I think there's also often the government, some people might not be aware of this, but what tends to happen, some of these tenants will be offered alternate housing. However, often it's on shorter term contracts, or it's with social housing that is, inherently less secure and can be sold off at any moment.
And isn't it also more expensive?
Sometimes, yeah. And so there's all these issues. But then the other thing is as well, it's doing nothing to help all the other people on the housing wait list who desperately need, like, people are literally sleeping on the streets because they have nowhere to go and they need safe, affordable public housing. So it's a terrible crisis that we're seeing. However, there has also been a really massive resistance, hasn't there, as well, Rach? Are you able to kind of speak to that? Like I was reading about the resistance that's going on for the Waterloo estate, which has been pretty inspiring stuff. Yeah, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, there's in Waterloo, they've been trying to demolish for about nine years. So there's been all this community organising and very persistent. And so, we're organising an action and a rally on April the 12th, starting at Redfern Community Centre and marching through Redfern. There's also Hands Off Glebe and Piemont Action Inc. are organising an action outside the old fish markets. There's a massive development happening in Piemont on the waterfront, and they want to build a massive private tower, 35 storeys high, with 1,200 apartments. None of it's public housing, so we're going to go and take action there. But actually, the state government here says there's lots of land. We're going to build lots of apartments on it. So they've also targeted one area in the inner city in Camperdown, which is quite near where Anthony Albanese grew up with his single mum in Camperdown public home. So this site is, they're going to build 500 apartments, but again, there's no public housing in it. And what you've got is this privatisation fetish by the Labor government and the Liberal Party, obviously. This social housing mix business is actually, social housing is privately run by so-called not-for-profits, but the CEOs in these not-for-profits are on $300,000 a year. And they're actually for profit. As Mary was saying, they can charge rent, 30% of your income on rent, where public housing is only 25%. So it's more expensive and the tenure is less secure. So we're not into social housing. We're into public housing that's run and managed by the government. So this site, all of these sites that they've earmarked for development have very small levels of social housing and no public housing. So that's the other thing to watch out for. But yeah, on the battlefronts, we've also got this awesome occupation happening in Pine Street, Lismore. Big solidarity to those squatters there who have occupied 8 homes for many months.
Yep.
So that's really exciting. And also big hats off to the Musgrove Park Resistance, the tent city that's there, of the homeless folk and the campaign community crew that are organising to defend against the mayor and the police who are threatening to evict everyone. So there's some real substantial little moments, and also hats off to the Nicholson Street Carlton occupation. It's 620 Nicholson Street in Carlton where you guys are. That's also another little site of housing resistance. So we're starting to really see some good actions taking place, and these are the things that are going to deliver the goods. There is no orderly queue either on the waiting list. It really is the government handpicking the most, the loudest and the most organised sections of the homelessness community, or the almost homelessness community. So that means we're really calling for people to stand up, step up and organise for their housing rights. And there's been some great international examples too of some wins that we've had recently. So we can do it. We just got to keep organising.
I was just going to quickly make the point that often housing, or having housing, is the key to getting a job.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, to be able to even participate in this horrible neoliberal market system that we have under capitalism.
That's right.
So yeah, just doing the basics of education and employment are nigh on impossible when you don't have safe and stable housing. So thank you so much for joining us, Rachel, and thank you for, you know, just sharing a bit about what's going on in Sydney and just how it's just scarily similar to what's happening here in Melbourne. And so we do want to encourage listeners to read up further on what's going on at Green Left online, greenleft.org.au, and also to, yeah, see if they can get along to any of those actions around public housing. They can look at our activist calendar for those details. So thank you so much, Rachel. And
awesome.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Ricia. Keep on keeping on.
Absolutely.
Go well.
Bye.
Go well. Bye.